When does a phenomenon become the unknown? When all attempts at understanding fail, and those who thirst for knowledge and understanding watch as research turns to ash in their mouth. As the phenomenon turns from a riddle to be solved into anomalous fascination. Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to episode 14 of the Anomalous Fascination Podcast. I'm happy to be back and sharing yet another unexplainable tale with all of you. As always, if you love the show and want to show your support, tell a friend about it. Maybe they'll love it too. It's been 14 episodes, and I realize today that I haven't mentioned any of the shows I belong to. Many may already know, but I am one of the co-hosts of the podcast 90s Court, which is a comedy nostalgia show, and I'm a character slash actor on the podcast Daring Adventures, an actual play D&D podcast. If you have not heard of either of these shows and are looking for an absolute 180 divergence from the content here, then those may be good places to tune in. And now, on to the episode. Think of a time that you have been completely isolated, but not indoors, outdoors. On the top of a giant hill with no one around for miles, in the middle of a forest with nothing but the sound of rustling trees, or standing out in a field covered with snow in the early morning before anyone else is up, untouched snow for miles. Now, I don't know about you, but that is an incredible feeling. Just me and the wind. Completely alone. Now, what if I told you that this feeling can quickly dissipate with the introduction of a single variable? Same situation, you hear absolutely nothing, but then you look just a few feet away, and something is there. Something that couldn't be there unless someone was here only moments ago. Or still is. You walk to pick it up, and now, completely isolated, look around in fear and anxiety, because now, you are completely alone. Or are you? Let's take a stroll, shall we? It is March of 1964 in South Africa. Two ships sit in the harbor awaiting word to depart. The supply ship RSA and the Royal Navy's HMS Protector. Both ships were set to assist in exploring an island which had undergone some recent transformation due to a minor volcanic eruption. The island historically was not terribly hospitable for landings, with large sharp spires and rocky and icy surfaces all over. With the recent eruption, however, there was word that the surface may have flattened out a bit and allow for a safe landing and exploration. So the two ships set off, along with a couple of helicopters on the ships for landing on the island. Upon approach to the island, the ships finally dropped anchor a mile or so away, and began waiting. Because, you see, the winds get pretty fierce around this island, so they had to wait for the wind to die down below 50 knots. Which, for those of you who do not speak knot, that is 90 kilometers per hour, or 57 miles per hour. Finally, after the ship sat anchored for 3 days, on April 2nd, the wind had settled down to the point where it was considered safe to attempt a landing by helicopter. The helicopter reached a point a bit inland on the small island, where it was safe to drop off the survey team, and the helicopter would then find a safe place to land itself. As the survey team looked around, the team that was dropped off was led by Lieutenant Commander Alan Crawford, who was well-traveled in the Atlantic. The team had been dropped off on a flat patch of land, only 100 or so meters from an inland lagoon, which, for those of you who have heard lagoon a million times and don't actually know what it is, it's essentially like a small saltwater lake within an island, separated by land from the sea. The area was completely desolate. Spare the light, muffled sound of seals far off on the other side of the island. The crew stood there, taking it in for a bit, listening to the light winds whistling all around them. When Crawford spotted something off in the distance at the lagoon, he was sure it was probably nothing, but he had his team set off in that direction to inspect the lagoon area. They walked quietly and cautiously towards the lagoon, with no sound but the snow and ice crunching beneath their feet. Finally, when Crawford and his crew reached the lagoon, his initial suspicions were confirmed, as he saw something halfway submerged in the lagoon, a lifeboat. Crawford stood there wordlessly, as the rest of the crew looked at him, puzzled. Crawford slowly turned his head to survey the area, as if he were making sure there wasn't someone right behind him, or hiding on a cliff somewhere. But there was nothing. Just the howling of the wind. Crawford approached the boat and saw no bodies in or around it. No signs of any humans, and the boat was still completely seaworthy without any significant damage. So why exactly were Crawford and his crew so baffled by this boat? What exactly did this symbolize? Well, this island was Bouvet Island, 1,100 miles from Antarctica, 1,600 miles from South Africa. It is the most remote island in the entire world, and no one else in recorded history had ever set foot on it. Or had they? Let's take a quick break and dive into the history and the mystery of Bouvet Island. So let's rewind and talk about the history of this island. January 1st of 1739, the island was discovered, I put that in quotes, by French commander Jean-Baptiste Charles Bouvet de Lozieux. We can just refer to him as Mr. Bouvet because that name is impossibly long. Now, at this time, discovering new islands and land didn't involve a whole lot. Basically, Bouvet saw the land a bit off in the distance, and then wrote down its location on a map. And then, the island disappeared. Not literally, of course, but for 69 years after its discovery, no one could find it again. This was during a time when people were having to ballpark locations. Basically always. Not only were navigators bad at marking locations, but often they would see a landmass in the distance, assume it's an island, and it turns out they created a phantom island that was actually just a narrow portion of a continent. Whoops. So, in 1808, despite years of searching for it, it was finally located hundreds of miles from its original location. So far away that there was some doubt for almost a century if this was even the same island. The island is shrouded in thick sea mist and storms 300 days out of the year. Yes, that's right, 300 days. So it is understandable why it was so hard to locate again. Finally, in 1898, it was properly marked with exact coordinates onto maps. This was when the island was finally circumnavigated by those who inspected it. That's right. Despite multiple navigators finding the island, it took 90 years to finally go around the island to find out how big it was. The island at the time was covered 90% in ice, surrounded by unscalable cliffs, no coves or inlets to allow safe approach to the island, and what they believed at the time to be an inactive volcano. Oh, and the nearest shipping lane to the island is 1,000 miles away. So needless to say, the island wasn't getting a whole lot of traffic. Now this is where South Africans came into play. They wanted to use the island for a weather station. But at the time of the first inspection of the island, there was no location on the island for any possible entry by air. Until a few years later, another ship discovered that a small volcanic eruption had created a plateau on the island. Which, of course, leads us up to the timing of our story. After discovering the boat, Crawford and his team did some research around the area. They surveyed the platform, took some rock samples, and then finally, due to conditions, they were only able to stay for about 45 minutes. Can you imagine that long of a sea travel and then waiting another 3 days to get 45 good minutes on the island? Wild. Needless to say, despite walking around the area and looking for possible signs of humanity, they weren't able to get very far before having to get back in the helicopter and head off. So how did this boat get here? Sure, there may have been maybe 8 to 12 explorations where ships had observed the island from afar, at least one where they tried to land but had to turn back, but none of them ever reported any wrecks or lifeboats being used to investigate the island. And then you may be thinking, clearly a ship just wrecked in the area and someone took the lifeboat there. But as I mentioned, it's 1,000 miles from the nearest shipping lane. Not only that, but the boat was found in the lagoon, quite a ways into the island. And most importantly, you don't show up to Bouvet Island unless you meant to be there. It's a 3x5 mile island, 1,600 miles from the nearest permanently inhabited landmass. So what do you think? So, who cares? A boat showed up on an uninhabited island, and it's super weird that it was there. That's true. But for the crew that showed up on the island, it was highly unsettling. Oh, and one last thing. After determining the safety of the plateau and evaluating the area, South Africa decided to send out a second exploratory team of biologists to explore the flora and the fauna on the island. So 2 years later, in 1966, the new crew set off for the island. They investigated the wildlife, which largely consisted of various seal species and some unusual plant life. They furthermore spent a good deal of time exploring the lagoon, where the first crew had visited. Upon returning and going over their findings, Crawford asked the crew if they ended up finding any signs of life to explain the life raft in the lagoon. To which the biologists looked at each other puzzled. They pulled out all the photos they'd taken of both the lagoon and the island and said, "What life raft?" As Crawford looked over numerous photos of the entire lagoon and across the island, none of which showed any signs of a life raft. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Anomalous Fascination. If you'd like to keep in touch with the show, you can find me at AnomalyPod on Twitter, or email me at anomalousfascination@gmail.com. And if you love the show, hop on Apple Podcasts and leave the show a nice 5-star rating and review. Or even just tell a friend about it. And until next time, thanks for listening.